Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 with a live studio audience. All right, that might have woken up some of the younger members of our home, but yes, our live studio audience is really live. Thank you to our live studio audience. Yes, I would like to thank everyone for their feedback from last week's podcast. Missiles and Missing Never Again struck a nerve. Boy, oh boy, we got a lot of great feedback. Thank my longtime friend. I'm not sure I've ever given a shout out to Dusty Eber, my longtime friend since, ninth grade back in California. Shout out also Rod Lowenthal, as well as some other amazing people from, we'll give a shout out in general to the Adorable Deplorables. Yes, a group that my mom is in. God bless all of them. Thank you for your support and listening. So I think last week did strike a nerve, and I'm glad it did. My wife and family and I dedicate our lives to Jewish identity. And when we see the assimilation having such an impact that we forget who we are as Jews, we forget even our identity so much we can't even identify who our enemies are. We actually end up supporting our enemies. We end up defending our enemies, those people who would wish to destroy us. You know, there was this tragic attack in the temple in Detroit area, and 140 kids were in their Jewish preschool there, and a Islamic radical terrorist, although motives are still unclear, if you can imagine that, rams his car in filled with gasoline, all sorts of other stuff. You know the details better than I do, but and you know, with specific intent to kill. And it turns out that his brother was killed in Lebanon. And so he was so upset that his brother was killed in Lebanon that he came to avenge his demise and attacked an innocent synagogue in Detroit, which makes so much sense. Well, first of all, Hezbollah joined the war. No one asked Hezbollah to join this war. They already got whooped the last round. So now they said, oh, let's come back for more. And this is something we have to remember, people. Radical Islamists, not all Muslims, but radical Islamists wake up in the morning and they eat, breathe, drink, and get up every day thinking, how can I hurt and maim more infidels, specifically the Jews? That's really their, as you say in Hebrew, ki heim chayenu v'orakimenu. It's like, this is our life and the length of our days. This is what they do. And so they couldn't resist another time to get whooped. And so Hezbollah joined. And now this guy was in the, you know, Hezbollah, was a fighter for Hezbollah. And Israel killed him. And okay, so don't start up and you won't get killed. But he started up, he got killed. And his brother goes berserk and does this terrorist act. And what happens? The many news outlets are like, you know, because the mayor of Dearborn said, well, you know, you can't blame the... It's almost comical. It's like, you can't blame the guy because, well, his brother was killed in Lebanon. What? Excuse me? The state of Israel is defending itself in a defensive war that Hezbollah started, and they wiped this guy out, this guy's brother out, and then... So that justifies killing or trying to kill innocent Jewish children learning about peace? Shalom, shalom, do, shalom. Like, they're singing about peace, and they're learning about love your neighbors yourself, and some Muslim terrorist comes in, and the reaction was that somehow it was justified. It was justified. So here's how this rolls, folks. In every Holocaust museum and throughout every period of history where there ends up being very not nice things happen to the Jews, it all starts with speech. It all starts with maligning and defaming the Jewish people and the Jews. And so we've gotten to the point now where that's been going on for the last couple of years. And so now when these attacks on the synagogues are happening and other Jewish things, guess what? Guess what? The news justifies it. And the mayor of Dearborn says, well, you know, you can't really blame him. I mean, his brother was killed. I mean, like, what else are you going to do except go to try to kill 140 Jewish children? Like, it's obvious, like, you know. And people were eating this. They were eating it up. They were saying, oh, yeah, you know, that really justifies it. Because once you cheapen the life of a Jew, then eliminating a Jew is not such a big deal. And ridiculous excuses like that start to hold water in the eyes of people. And sadly, there I saw one video on LinkedIn. I couldn't believe it. It was actually an amazing African-American man. It didn't say what his name was, but he said that a Jewish woman came up to him. He said, they were talking about this, and she said, you know, I'm Jewish, and what Israel's doing is wrong, and I really understand why this terrorist went and attacked the synagogue. I couldn't believe it. So this African-American man said, listen, lady, it doesn't matter who you are. When you throw your own people under the bus, the non-Jews will hate you even more. When they see that you cannot stand up for your own people, they will disrespect you even more. And this African-American man is basically quoting Rev Hirsch from the 19th century, who said that non-Jews respect Jews when we respect ourselves. It's only when we cower that we basically open ourselves up to the anti-Semitism. When we are thriving as proud Jews, that is when the non-Jews recognize us. It's only when we cower and hide our Judaism is when they are sent as divine messengers to give us a little wake-up call that we're not like everyone else. And that we've touched upon many podcasts. All right. We have commented, pretty soon I better talk more about Torah or people are going to think that I'm a political commentator. But I do just want to double-click on that just for a second. What I'm doing is not political commentary. I'm not a political commentary. I'm a Jewish identity commentator. I'm showing how the reaction of Jews and non-Jews in the world right now to the events is pointing out identity issues. That the Jewish people's greatest issue is the spiritual holocaust of assimilation and lack of positive Jewish identity. That's really the core of everything that's going on over here. And now we will pivot to riding the wave. And it's about time this rabbi speaks some Torah. Okay? And the name of this podcast is Money Motivation. So let's get some motivation going. And we find ourselves in an unbelievably happy time of the year. From Purim through Pesach. Pesach is Passover, for those who don't know the Hebrew. And it is an incredibly joyous time. This is the time of miracles. This is the time of salvation. This is the time when we plug into 3,338 years of unbroken chain from leaving Egypt till today. I think it's very important that people know that. One of the things that we try to do at our Seder is we open up and we sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to the Jewish people. Happy birthday to us. Why? Because really leaving Egypt is the birth of our nation. And everyone knows how old they are. How many Jews, if you would ask them, know how old we are? Well, you are going to have the answer. It is 3,338 years. This coming Pesach, that is the amount of years. It was in 1312 BCE. And you add 1312 to 2026 and you get 3338. All right. And so that is our national birthday coming up. It is a very incredibly happy time. But I want to point out an amazing cycle, the cycle of the Jewish holidays. And there are many patterns in the yearly cycle of the Jewish holidays, but I want to share with you with one of them, and the amazing part of that cycle that we are in right now. So if you imagine a clock with at 12 o'clock, let's just say, really at the very top is Passover. That's really the first of the month, Nisan, the month that we are in right, or what's actually coming up this week of Rosh Chodesh. That is the first month. Now, I know Rosh Hashanah is the first of the year. It's complicated for another time. There are many first of the years. There's a fiscal year, there's a calendar year, etc. So also in Judaism, there are different years. So the calendar in the Torah, the first month is Nisan, and that is when Pesach is. And we go through, and we get in the third month is Shavuos, that's the month of Sivan. And again, these are all the holidays where God does open miracles, and he's revealed, and it's very clear, he's splitting seas, he's talking to 3 million Jews on Mount Sinai. That is not a regular natural event. And we go through the whole cycle of the holidays, and then we go around into Sukkot, which is in the seventh month, and that recalls and relives our miraculous existence in the desert with clouds surrounding us, that our shoes don't wear out, that there's HVAC in the day and at night, and a miraculous rock that is feeding us water and manna falling from heaven. So these are all miraculous holidays. Then we get further on into Hanukkah. Around the cycle of the holiday, Hanukkah has two miracles in it. One of them is the open miracle of the oil lasting 8 nights, but one of them is the hidden miracle. The hidden miracle is the battle, the war, because you know when you fight an army in a battle, you can explain it that it was our might and our strength that did it, and we do not need God to help us. We are strong now, we have an army, and okay, I'll spare you. But you get the idea. That is the challenge of every military effort. How much is it our own physical might, and how much is it God's guiding hand? So Hanukkah is the bridge. It has one open, revealed miracle, the oil, and it has one hidden miracle, which is the war. And then the lights are turned off. And it is Purim. And Purim is no open miracles. It's all hidden. And that is the goal of the entire cycle around the Jewish holiday year, is that we start when it's open. And we have, it's like training someone to ride a bike. You have your training wheels on. Open miracles are training wheels. Of course God is there. You can't deny it. By the end of the cycle, we're in Purim. There's no more training wheels. The world seems dark. God seems hidden. Are we going to see Hashem, God, in our daily lives? That is where we are at Purim. And so guess what, folks? We're in between Purim and Pesach right now. We're in between that time where God is totally hidden, and when God is now, the lights are going to be flipped on, and we're going to start the cycle all over again. So once we hit Pesach, wouldn't it be amazing to know this process that happens every year? That we go from the lights on from our training wheels to the lights being turned off, the training wheels taken away, and then we have to see God in our lives. And I want to tell you a story that exemplifies seeing Hashem in our everyday lives. And it's called Riding the Wave. I have a dear friend. In fact, he is one of my chavrusas, my study partners. And we have been learning together for at least, I would say, 15 years, maybe more. We meet early in the morning, and it is we go through the Talmud. We do a page a week, not Daf Yomi, but Daf Shavua. He's a very special person. I'm not going to mention his name. Those people know him. A really special person, was raised a beautiful Jewish family. And he told me this story. And I shared it with our Olami 613 participants on the Shabbos. and it just blew me away and it blew them away. So I want to share it with you. And it's called Riding the Wave. So when he was a young man, he was finding himself. He grew up in an observant Jewish home, was really finding himself in the world, and went to Israel to study. And he was still trying to figure out where Judaism fit into his life, or his life fit into Judaism. And he was at one school, and it went well, and it really kind of inspired him a little bit to go to a different school. Now, this different school, yeshiva, was in Zichron Yaakov, which is on the coast. Beautiful, if you ever have a chance to visit Zichron Yaakov. It's absolutely stunning. And he had just arrived. He had just arrived at the yeshiva, and the boys would go on Fridays. They'd go to take a swim on the beach, and they found a secluded place over there, and they started to go swimming. And everyone came in except one of the bachrim, one of the students. And they got to the shore, and they realized that he was having difficulty getting to shore. So then they noticed it seems like maybe there's a current or a tide or something, and everyone understandably was afraid that maybe they would get stuck. But my friend, obviously, is that type of guy, and he just wanted to go out and check and see what's going on, if there's any way that he could help. He swims out there, and before he knows it, he himself gets stuck in this current, this riptide. And he explained it to me. It's literally like someone is grabbing you and pulling you down, and you feel totally helpless. And it started to get more and more serious. He said that the original guy was a little bit of a bigger guy, and he was really struggling just to stay afloat. It went on for several more minutes, and it wasn't getting any better. And at that moment, the two of them, who had been communicating, realized that their lives were basically over, that the time had come that their time on earth was over. There was no way they were getting out of this. There was no way that anyone could save them. And so they looked at each other and they decided that they were going to do what Jews do in the last moment of their lives. They were going to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that is exactly what they did. My friend told me that this other fellow, literally, his face was above the water and nothing else, as they screamed out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, Israel, Hashem is our God. Hashem is the only one. And at that moment, when they finished Shema, one wave comes and pushes them halfway to the shore. And the next moment, another wave comes and pushes them both on, basically close to the shore where they could stand. And they were saved. And they both looked at each other and they knew that Hashem, God Almighty, had saved them. Now, this is my little take on the story. Can you imagine if there was a live on the spot? We have our CNN or Fox News or whatever you pick your outlet that you like reporter here. And we're interviewing these guys, like, you know, and they say, wow, what a lucky break. Those waves came just in time. And how could these guys explain to that reporter, white teeth and all, you know, coiffed hair, that, no, sir, that wasn't a lucky break. That was Hashem. That was God. God saved us. I saw the waves, you know. I know you're religious boys, but like, you know, the waves came. No. But we know it was Hashem. Hashem saved us. And the reporter goes back and forth. That is the battle that we have today. We can explain our lives away in natural occurrences, but we Jews have a sixth sense to sense when the Almighty is in our lives and acting for us. And my friend told me, he said he was so inspired that he literally felt that Hashem himself had saved him. He said he felt like it was his own personal leaving of Egypt. And that is exactly what we should be feeling this Passover coming up. That 3,338 years ago, Hashem saved our ancestors and has been saving us ever since. My friend told me, he said he was so inspired that even till today, he's still riding the wave of Hashem saving him. Many, many years later, a few decades later, he is still riding the wave of Hashem saving him. It motivates him. It pushes him. It makes him realize how much he owes the Almighty. And everything that he does, he's still riding the wave of gratitude, of service to the Almighty for everything he did for him. And that's Passover, folks. That is Pesach. We, the Jewish people, are still riding the wave of Hashem saving us from the dungeon, the inescapable prison of Egypt, of Mitzrayim. And we are still riding that wave. That is what our mission is. And on Passover, on Pesach, we remind ourselves of the wave that Hashem sent to us. And we pass it down, not just as storytellers, but as witnesses. We received the testimony, not the story, the testimony from our previous generations. And we are the witnesses that testify to our children and to everyone at the Seder that Hashem sent a miraculous wave to save us. And now it is incumbent upon us to ride the wave, to continue to serve him 3,338 years later and counting. So God willing, I hope this story touched you. It certainly touched me, and it's the perfect message going into Pesach. God willing, we will continue to ride the wave of gratitude and of service to the Almighty. And God willing, we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.